are told so little about everything and anything, and you grasp the false illusions like a life belt. In this very area of California, there is a huge prison facility called a cute name like correctional facility. While most of the criminals are left outside running your government and big business. Nonetheless, Dharma said one day to a few people talking about the underground facilities that, quote, "Well, but what about that big facility under the prison?" There was silence, and all turned to look at her as if to ask, "What about it?" She was stunned because she knew all about it, having been there, and was quite sure I had spoken of it in meeting as well as in writing. No, I had not, because we have ones who are employed at the prison and I need to keep protection about them. Not only do they have a massive facility which interlocks with the Northrop and other facilities, but the inmates in various categories of lockup worked on the project and some have tattled quite openly about it. It simply is not that which will run in your local paper, when they won't even run a simple letter to the editor regarding no on war. I do not wish to take more time on this now, but we'll get back to it as we have opportunity. I mention these things because they must be integrated into the concept of the ever outstretched coverage of the CIA and other intelligence groups. Let us return to the subject of the CIA structure and spend an hour or so before our meeting on the subject in point. By the way, for you readers and listeners, it has gotten completely beyond Dharma's ability to write such volumes of documents as to cover all material and miscellaneous matters inappropriate to a journal in preparation. So if you will look in the Liberator, there will be placed information for how to obtain audio tapes of these meetings, and we have, unless totally geared to local business matters. I will endeavor to respond to questions which flow into this focus and will, in addition, give us opportunity to exchange more comfort with conversational communications. If at first you're uncomfortable with a bit of a female voice tone, I believe it will not even be noted as we move along in the taping. The expense for same will be kept as minimal as possible to break even, and you will be given other instructions as to source of ordering, for we need to relieve America West of some of the load and give separation as to this type of communication, for they face enough impact from the publications. Thank you for your attention and patience while we get set with the equipment to run that many copies for circulation. I would like as many as who would be interested to obtain the tape from our last large meeting, for I believe it was one of the more important as to information. I think that meeting was on or about the 15th of March and was some 5 hours in length, so there will be probably some 4 tapes. Information can still be gotten immediately through America West. Our intent is to remove additional burden, for soon the publications will be handled through Nevada and other resources for security and more efficient business operations. We will effort to set the audio tapes into some kind of format so that the cost can be utilized as a donation for your convenience. So be it. Let us move on with our subject in point. And that finishes today's watch.
I'm sure that will be clarified within the next few days. Maybe it's already clarified. I would interrupt my own thoughts to ask you, Oberle, if you did bring or have you given George the letter from Terry?
Yes.
All right. That's a possibility.
I'll follow that.
I wanted to speak just a minute to a statement or a series of statements made by Terry. He has written twice since he was here, and his appreciation for you ones and the way that you received him was emphasized over and over. They didn't like California when they were here living, and it still is not their preference because they're guided elsewhere. And when ones feel guidance very, very frequently, It's not of the imagination. You can have nudges and misperceptions, but look at them closely and in what light. You might utilize those nudges and instincts. They might very well be an answer on the other end in Nevada at some point here, because they're kind of urged to go there. But that's not the point I wanted to make. You who were privy to his questions regarding what happened in Vietnam to the soldiers and our response, along with the dissertation from John Coleman, will remember the programming. And Terry has said that all the while that he was in Vietnam, he knew he was supposed to die. Every minute of his time there, he knew he was supposed to die. He has never gotten over that feeling. He was wounded and gotten out of there, but he didn't die. Now he's decided, because other ones have told him that possibly God saved him for. Well, I'm not going to get into what God might have done and agreed with Terry. That's not my business, and I'm not going to talk about his bargaining. He thinks he bargained with God. Someone says, well, you bargained with God, and you said, if you would get me out of here, I'll do, and you're out, and you better. Well, it isn't quite like that. This was a massive test. The CIA was running this war. And when the war moved on over into Laos and Cambodia, etc., it all was a drug war and an experimental war to manipulate the troops. This was one massive, major experiment. And if you recall what John said, ones were beamed. They were literally injected with receiving microchips, micro dots, almost microscopic. But they were also impacted with beams that just kept telling them, you're going to die. You're going to die. You are confused. Get water. I really am pushing my luck. My scribe is tired. This was the hopelessness of all those youngsters. This was the helplessness. This was the insanity that was Vietnam. They all expected to die. And after drugs were introduced in a massive way, actually in a coordinated way, and then they could run tests on reactions after that. There was such confusion introduced into whole groups that they literally would stand in a wad while the enemy surrounded them and killed them. This is your government. This is your government. And they are my enemy. So be it. overly read me some of these questions, we're not going to be able to. If you just pick up your hand.
Okay.
It's all right, I'll be patient. When you get down past the questions, we'll do something else.
All right.
I want to thank Ginny. We're feeling our way, and Ginny is my secretary now. And Dorma and I sit in there, and we do something or other with that tape recorder, and Ginny turns it into letters, and I'm appreciative.
Meeting questions. Number one, how can you win when the Republicans and Democrats are so corrupt?
You can't, so you elect somebody else. You throw those hypocritical rascals out.
Number two, Hatton, do you know of Lu Yiamong, who had at one time 7 million warring angels? It is said that he was a false god in the etheric heavens, somewhere around Heda. Now this is written 3/19/92. Brother Michael Buckley Bay.
Yes, I know who he's talking about, and his name is Lucifer. And he had more warring angels than that. And I wouldn't bother to get into it any deeper.
Number three. This is David Sadowski. You mentioned your scribes and George come under attack. Do loyal readers of the journals and liberators need to worry about being placed under surveillance?
No more than any other citizen. The point is that all citizenry is already under surveillance. Pay attention to what your newscasters are telling you that you may not hear. You may get even irate when you hear it, but just announcements like has recently come across your non-news, where the government is going to require that easier equipment for phone tapping be installed by the telephone company, and they will allow the telephone company to charge you, the people, for that convenience. Now, if you've been watching, that has been on the news within the last 2 weeks, with a final resolution that they would allow passing that charge on through to you. The fact is, all phone lines are tapped. All phone lines have capability of being listened to. Most are not. It depends on what you are doing, whether or not you have any attention whatsoever, but it requires more than just being on a mailing list for the Liberator. You would be far more apt to be tapped or surveilled if you were actually on a list for the pilot group, where you are becoming I guess they citizenize too, don't they? I've lost my train of thought just a little bit. At any rate, they're teaching you how to get off the tax rolls. They are far more apt to follow ones in that group than they will readers of the Liberator at this point. So I wouldn't worry about that. When we talk about being under attack, this group is very unique, and they are physically under attack constantly. And it is as much from the dark elements. And all of you are vulnerable for that. The dark element will be after you all of the time, whether or not you read The Liberator. Separate the two in your mind. They're not the same. Your adversary wants you. He wants your soul, and he will go to great lengths to get it. I would suggest always keeping that light closely wrapped around, and you'll be perfectly all right. Next.
All right, here's from Larry Frank. What does it mean to be a volunteer? And then the second part of the question is, and is the hatan in Tuita's material you?
Well, when Larry presented his questions here to this group, or when we had the telephone hookup and we answered questions, the Tuita situation came up. And I will have to cover it, I guess, a little bit. I have tried to respond to him. I don't discuss unless I'm really backed into a corner and there is merit in the discussion about this. And I got a little bit, I didn't hedge. I simply said I wasn't going to answer. It's painful. This is not a pleasant subject for me. Ones that I classify as volunteers are ones who, on a much higher etheric level, were volunteer troops, if you will, volunteer soul energy, wishing, because of your experience, to be back at this time, on this place, for this cycle change, for this evolvement. It doesn't necessarily mean that you volunteered to serve at Armageddon, for instance. It means that you have volunteered to be in the leadership position at this time of evolution, of moving on, transition, if you wish to call it that. You are the older soul energies coming into your final grades of education, I suppose, in your return back into the lighted source. And those voluntary acts or commitments were made on a much, much higher plane than this, and much, much longer ago than you can imagine. There is nothing that you can relate to in anything on this earth place that would allow you to realize how far back you made that commitment against this day. And everything in all of your experiences has led up to this. And in many cases, you dropped off only to pick it up again. Other ones had your role, dropped completely away, and you filled in. This is the way of growth. Will you drop away again? Some of you will. Some of you will get mad at God because you don't understand what God is, who He is, or how it functions in this realm. And you are burdened with the same emotional structure of any other human in this experience. And you might get right outside this experience, like death of the body, today, and tomorrow you're going to wish you'd done things differently. But you won't know that you blew it until tomorrow. This is the testing. Because you cannot look at your journey as sitting in this room and learning these lessons. Maybe that's all you have to give, share, or receive. That's between you and God. It's not my business. But most of you in this room have got to grow beyond the acceptance of that experience as all there is. Because if we cannot bring you out of this density and inability to understand the massiveness and the oneness, the singleness of this experience, how will we reach all those masses in your manifested experience, your illusion? They're there. Doesn't matter who manufactured them, they're there. And because you are experiencing in this manifestation, it doesn't pay, it doesn't do you any good to say, well, I'm going to send into this other dimension then because I don't like this anymore. That's what you mean by volunteering. You volunteered to be here to do this. And you can stop doing it. But you will have broken your commitment. And that's something you will confront when you confront the rest of your actions. Now, as to the portals of light and the conclaves, I don't know how to tell you once. Tawita was my student. I began to train her. It was through her that I made introduction to Dharma. And it would be much like if I was no longer getting from Dharma what I must have for your growth, I would have to go elsewhere. And if it was not appropriate, if my location in this particular instance, my speaker was in Indiana, I needed to be in Tehachapi, California. This is where it's at. Does that mean that the truth coming through Indiana was less valid? No. My function had to be here. There is no difference in this one speaking to you in this room and the one that goes to their conclave meeting. I'm called and I respond. I'm afraid I don't say very much. And I want you to use some perception here. You have a situation whereby annually there is an update written as the meeting or the conclave, like of 1991 and 92 and 93. These are meetings, I suppose, that have some validity. Unfortunately, they are mostly staged simply to write a journal about. And it gives an opportunity to meet with some of the higher teachers in descriptive form, if nothing else. Corton will attend, Soltec, Manka. It's sort of a gathering and a gentle, let's see what's going on and where we are. As much as anything, so Tawita can write her book. Because we honor her. But she became surrounded by ones who felt through their own generosity of knowledge, intelligence, and superior favoritism. Much got altered in perception. And ones of those channeling communities who entertain you, and if you pay them, they'll give you a little private reading on the side. A little fortune telling. Don't ever pay Dorma to give you your fortune. She'll lie to you. She doesn't know what your fortune is. And I am not in the fortune-telling business. Is this through intent? No, it is through all the impact of earth pressures and dominant personalities thrusting against, in this instance, a little one who came to this place for one cycle. She is not from your galaxy. She is from the third galaxy, which is one of the angelic realms. And she came to this place to serve. And it's too confused for me to even speak farther about it. The energy form is the same as mine, speaking right now. And I honor her. And if you find value in these books, take it. And if you wish to subscribe to those portals of light, take them. Take the value and the truth from them. And allow the gentleness and that which is fantasy to be set aside. You can learn from all things. And certainly the intent of this being is wondrous. Man becomes misguided. You want it to be as you perceive it will be, and it's not. It just is not. And when you grow into respect of another human being who also feels blessed, you have to look at all facts regarding these ones. What do they say? That I am a special chosen one? I have been allowed to go to the secret mystery schools? Where? What schools? Lake Titicaca, Peru? This is a mystical school. It doesn't exist. It comes forth in the telling as if it is a physical place where you go and you are instructed by the master teachers. That is not what it is. It is a mystery place where you get crowned and royal treatment and become an order and initiated. That's one of their favorite words, initiation. I went through the initiation and I became one of the priestesses of the royal high order of the Emerald Cross of Melchizedek. That is BS. Let me tell you why. You are not functioning behind the veil of light and protection if you say that. There is no royal hierarchy in heaven. God is as low as you. If you choose to get on your knees to Hatton, I've got to work from my knees. And that is a pitiful excuse for royalty. Does this mean that these are evil people? No. It means that they are misled by many, many higher teachers from somewhere out there basing what they are teaching on Freemasonry and the secret code. And God is open and there is no royalty. Now you will hear the term Lord Ashtar. That only means higher teacher. I would take a little bit of exception to Ashtar's position as accepted in the conclave. He simply is a master of ceremonies at this particular time. And it is not Ashtar as you think of as the Ashtar command. This is the entity that would serve the purpose as commander of that command. Because the Ashtar command is the one that houses and takes all the data. And that would be for all places in this part of your universe. And you cannot equate that to a one being. And that command is the one, not the Akashic Records. Don't misunderstand the Akashic Records and what Ashtar does. But in the time, if evacuation of this planet is needed because it's going to pulverize itself at your hands, at evacuation, everything shuts down and Ashtar command takes over and all of us will respond to whatever orders we are given. They are practiced. I hate to tell you this. It is so disappointing. This human species does this over and over and over. To the point that the Ashtar command is so practiced at evacuating planets that he can literally do it in 15 minutes. So feel good about it. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going to have to start making up your mind which way you're going to go. I trust you'll understand that I don't make comments about other speakers, other energies. I would suggest if you have opportunity, listen to them all. You discern according to the guidelines given you in the commandments and see what they say. If they break one rule in their instructions, if they say, hey, it's really okay, go screw around with your neighbor just a little bit and get it out of your system, that we understand is just a little love that you're sharing, then you better run as fast as your little legs will paddle you, because they are breaking the laws of God and they are not your teachers. They are here to do you in. Does that mean that everything they say will be unworthy? No. Most of what they say will be perfect. You get informed. Don't dump your responsibility onto the shoulders of anybody, and don't give away your power to any speaker, not even Hatton. Go find out. Measure my truth. It's out there. It's out there on your place. You measure it. And you measure what I tell you according to those laws handed down that are unbendable. Both the ones of God for this planet, for you as human species on this planet, and of the balanced natural laws of creation. If you're breaking them, I suggest you look at why and how you are breaking them. You're not going to be perfect. You're human. But if you deliberately make up your own set of laws to suit your lust and greed, you're making some pretty big errors in judgment. Meant because it'll come right back to judge you. Let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
Off the pulpit and into the pit.
Since JFK was trying to turn things around, and he had so many of the people of the world who were for him, why didn't God send you people here at that time when there was such a good chance of changing things? Why wait until we're down the toilet, as it were, and then send you?
Because you're going to go all the way down the toilet. That's the way it always works. It wasn't to be that you would turn it around. You see what they were doing. It wasn't going to be turned around. You haven't nearly played out the rest of this scenario. You're only a little piece of it. I'm sorry that there isn't any more to answer to that.
Number six.
By the way, there he is. You can measure my lies too. What makes you think that some of us were not? Now let us go on.
How come in all these years I've not heard much of what you're saying from any of the mystics or enlightened ones? How come they didn't pick up on many of these things? I'm referring to the truth about Isu and the disciples, apostles, Mary Magdalene, their travels, and even events predating them.
Very simple. They're neither enlightened nor do they want you to know the truth. It's not easy to bring you this truth after all of those enlightened teachings. In fact, it is just about the hardest thing that I've ever experienced in all of my experiences. But I win.
Different set of questions. Matter of fact, it's kind of a story.
We'll just read it and we'll hop in.
Places, events which I have been shown, information which I have received, not channeled. Were my interpretations clouded by what I had learned or been taught as fact? For instance, there are a few things I recall from Isu's time. One is an incident between him and my daughter and me in the garden after his resurrection. Another is a time when we passed in the marketplace when I was with my handmaiden. My husband worked for Pontius as an administrator. We were Hebrews. And Isu, the name Jesus never did sit right with me. Now I know why. As he passed me, looked into my eyes and said, "Come follow me." I can still see his eyes and still feel a terrible cold fear that swept over me. It's an unforgettable thing. Did I follow him? Secretly only. I was terrified to follow him openly. As I recall, the Romans were pussycats compared to Herod and his troops. Also, I was in an area that was underground, and I saw saucers, the launch pads, and how they're raised and launched. There's more to it than I'm saying, of course, but I thought it was in the Arctic region and was not of our civilization.
No, it was in the Antarctic region and wasn't of your civilization.
Are there dwellers within our earth? Because that's who I thought they were. I never saw any of them distinctly, only figures against in front of objects to give me an idea of the size of what I was seeing. Also, are you familiar with Flower Newhouse, who has the Guest Haven Center, Quest Haven Center, near Vista, California, and who was Isu's sister? I'm not sure she's still on this side. I haven't heard of her in several years. Much beautiful work has come from her and her center. Many have been given good training in spiritual values. She has given much information on angels and their functions, guided artistic renderings, etc. I just thought a number of years ago I wrote a story about the incidents that took place aboard one of our spacecraft in which some of the things I've seen were included. I had a friend of mine, illiterate, illustrate the story and submitted it to Omni Magazine. I have the return receipt, but no one ever has heard of it, seen it, and can't recognize the initials of the individual who signed for it. Nor have I ever heard of its being published. Interesting, isn't it? Maybe I was being protected. I know I've skipped around in this paragraph. Forgive me. My thoughts weren't organized. Everything reminds me of something else, and it's just spilling out. Thank you for bearing with me.
I'm not going to discuss this. This is very personal. I would just suggest that all of you who get these urgings to really look at what keeps flickering through your consciousness, stop and pay attention. Get a pen or get a little recorder and speak. You're going to be amazed at how right on you end up being in the protection of privacy. We had one who couldn't tell you every inch of the ground 6 miles deep in this Tehachapi area as far as what is put here, most especially the location, etc., of the crystal. Just don't live in those times you are now. There is no such thing as time or space. And when you start trying to separate it out, you're going to find it only totally confusing because of the fact that this is a projection of thought in manifested form. And you are creating it. And you are creating the visualization of those experiences that maybe came before. And the clues and the guidelines are there. And it's as I've talked about channels and communication. This is why we do not refer to Dharma as a channel. I speak, she translates. You can hear the pulse beat at that frequency. You can pick it up on a more sophisticated shortwave set. I don't think the ones that you would ordinarily have in your home go that high in frequency. And all you're going to get is an electronic whine. But that's what she volunteered to do. Other masters use different frequencies for different ones who are receiving. And if you don't speak a language, you have to have a translator. And in your daily life, you're not going to even understand why you can translate. And I'm not going to explain it and lead the enemy over here to bop you on the head. And I'm incensed from time to time at the mystical nonsense that comes back to me. Well, why don't you just talk to me? Well, that's the first reason. Talk to me and I'll believe you. What do you do when you pick up the telephone and someone speaks to you? Let us say you're in Montana and you call somebody in California. Don't you assume that voice is hooked to something? You have a radio, you turn on the button and you run it up and down the dial. And you tune in a channel or a station, depending on whether it's television or radio. It never occurs to you to doubt that someone is speaking into a microphone. And if you have a two-way radio, you can respond. There is nothing mystical about it. And besides that, I'm not all that far anymore. I'd probably yell at you. I'm practicing. Let's have another question.
All right, maybe we should turn the tape so that I won't be interrupted.
Very good, Oberle.
Are told so little about everything and anything, and you grasp the false illusions like a life belt. In this very area of California, there is a huge prison facility called a cute name like correctional facility. While most of the criminals are left outside running your government and big business. Nonetheless, Dharma said one day to a few people talking about the underground facilities that, quote, "Well, but what about that big facility under the prison?" There was silence, and all turned to look at her as if to ask, "What about it?" She was stunned because she knew all about it, having been there, and was quite sure I had spoken of it in meeting as well as in writing. No, I had not, because we have ones who are employed at the prison, and I need to keep protection about them. Not only do they have a massive facility which interlocks with the Northrop and other facilities, but the inmates in various categories of lockup worked on the project, and some have tattled quite openly about it. It simply is not that which will run in your local paper, when they won't even run a simple letter to the editor regarding no on war. I do not wish to take more time on this now, but we'll get back to it as we have opportunity. I mention these things because they must be integrated into the concept of the ever outstretched coverage of the CIA and other intelligence groups. Let us return to the subject of the CIA structure and spend an hour or so before our meeting on the subject in point. By the way, for you readers and listeners, it has gotten completely beyond Dharma's ability to write such volumes of documents as to cover all material and miscellaneous matters inappropriate to a journal in preparation. So if you will look in the Liberator, there will be placed information for how to obtain audio tapes of these meetings, and we have, unless totally geared to local business matters. I will endeavor to respond to questions which flow into this focus and will, in addition, give us opportunity to exchange more comfort with conversational communications. If at first you're uncomfortable with a bit of a female voice tone, I believe it will not even be noted as we move along in the taping. The expense for same will be kept as minimal as possible to break even, and you will be given other instructions as to source of ordering, for we need to relieve America West of some of the load and give separation as to this type of communication, for they face enough impact from the publications. Thank you for your attention and patience while we get set with the equipment to run that many copies for circulation. I would like as many as who would be interested to obtain the tape from our last large meeting, for I believe it was one of the more important as to information. I think that meeting was on or about the 15th of March and was some 5 hours in length, so there will be probably some 4 tapes. Information can still be gotten immediately through America West. Our intent is to remove additional burden, for soon the publications will be handled through Nevada and other resources for security and more efficient business operations. We will effort to set the audio tapes into some kind of format so that the cost can be utilized as a donation for your convenience. So be it. Let us move on with our subject in point. And that finishes today's watch.
I'm sure that will be clarified within the next few days. Maybe it's already clarified. I would interrupt my own thoughts to ask you, Oberle, if you did bring or have you given George the letter from Terry?
Yes.
All right. That's a possibility.
I'll follow that.
I wanted to speak just a minute to a statement or a series of statements made by Terry. He has written twice since he was here, and his appreciation for you ones and the way that you received him was emphasized over and over. They didn't like California when they were here living. And it still is not their preference because they're guided elsewhere. And when one feels guidance, very, very frequently, it's not of the imagination. You can have nudges and misperceptions, but look at them closely and in what light you might utilize those nudges and instincts. They might very well be an answer on the other end in Nevada at some point here, because they're kind of urged to go there. But that's not the point I wanted to make. You who were privy to his questions regarding what happened in Vietnam to the soldiers and our response, along with the dissertation from John Coleman, will remember the programming. And Terry has said that all the while that he was in Vietnam, he knew he was supposed to die. Every minute of his time there, he knew he was supposed to die. He has never gotten over that feeling. He was wounded and gotten out of there, but he didn't die. Now he's decided, because other ones have told him that possibly God saved him for. Well, I'm not going to get into what God might have done and agreed with Terry. That's not my business, and I'm not going to talk about his bargaining. He thinks he bargained with God. Someone says, well, you bargained with God, and you said, if you would get me out of here, I'll do, and you're out, and you better. Well, it isn't quite like that. This was a massive test. The CIA was running this war. And when the war moved on over into Laos and Cambodia, etc., it all was a drug war and an experimental war to manipulate the troops. This was one massive, major experiment. And if you recall what John said, ones were beamed. They were literally injected with receiving microchips, micro dots, almost microscopic. But they were also impacted with beams that just kept telling them, you're going to die. You're going to die. You are confused. Get water. I really am pushing my luck. My scribe is tired. This was the hopelessness of all those youngsters. This was the helplessness. This was the insanity that was Vietnam. They all expected to die. And after drugs were introduced in a massive way, actually in a coordinated way, and then they could run tests on reactions after that. There was such confusion introduced into whole groups, that they literally would stand in a wad while the enemy surrounded them and killed them. This is your government. This is your government. And they are my enemy. So be it. Overly, read me some of these questions. We're not going to be able to. You just pick up your hand.
Okay.
It's all right, I'll be patient. When you get down past the questions, we'll do something else.
All right.
Ooh. I want to thank Jenny. We're feeling our way, and Jenny is my secretary now. And Dorma and I sit in there, and we do something or other with that tape recorder, and Jenny turns it into letters, and I'm appreciative.
Meeting questions. Number one, how can you win when the Republicans and Democrats are so corrupt?
You can't, so you elect somebody else. You throw those hypocritical rascals out.
Number two, Hatton, do you know of Lu Yimong, who had at one time 7 million warring angels? It is said that he was a false god in the etheric heavens, somewhere around Heda. Now this is written 3/19/92, Brother Michael Buckley Bay.
Yes, I know who he's talking about, and his name is Lucifer. And he had more warring angels than that. And I wouldn't bother to get into it any deeper.
Number three, this is David Sadowski. You mentioned your scribes and George come under attack. Do loyal readers of the journals and liberators need to worry about being placed under surveillance?
No more than any other citizen. The point is that all citizenry is already under surveillance. Pay attention to what your newscasters are telling you that you may not hear. You may get even irate when you hear it, but just announcements like has recently come across your non-news, where the government is going to require that easier equipment for phone tapping be installed by the telephone company, and they will allow the telephone company to charge you, the people, for that convenience. Now, if you've been watching, that has been on the news within the last 2 weeks, with a final resolution that they would allow passing that charge on through to you. The fact is, all phone lines are tapped. All phone lines have capability of being listened to. Most are not. It depends on what you are doing, whether or not you have any attention whatsoever, but it requires more than just being on a mailing list for the Liberator. You would be far more apt to be tapped or surveilled if you were actually on a list for the pilot group, where you are becoming they citizenize too, don't they? I've lost my train of thought just a little bit. At any rate, they're teaching you how to get off the tax rolls. They are far more apt to follow ones in that group than they will readers of the Liberator at this point. So I wouldn't worry about that. When we talk about being under attack, this group is very unique, and they are physically under attack constantly. And it is as much from the dark elements And all of you are vulnerable for that. The dark element will be after you all of the time, whether or not you read The Liberator. Separate the two in your mind. They're not the same. Your adversary wants you. He wants your soul, and he will go to great lengths to get it. I would suggest always keeping that light closely wrapped around, and you'll be perfectly all right. Next.
All right, here's from Larry Frank. What does it mean to be a volunteer? And then the second part of the question is, and is the Hatan in Tuita's material you?
Well, when Larry presented his questions here to this group, or when we had the telephone hookup and we answered questions, the Tuita situation came up. And I will have to cover it, I guess, a little bit. I have tried to respond to him. I don't discuss unless I'm really backed into a corner and there is merit in the discussion about this. And I got a little bit, I didn't hedge. I simply said I wasn't going to answer. It's painful. This is not a pleasant subject for me. Ones that I classify as volunteers are ones who, on a much higher etheric level, were volunteer troops, if you will, volunteer soul energy, wishing, because of your experience, to be back at this time, on this place, for this cycle change, for this evolvement. It doesn't necessarily mean that you volunteered to serve at Armageddon, for instance. It means that you have volunteered to be in the leadership position at this time of evolution, of moving on, transition, if you wish to call it that. You are the older soul energies coming into your final grades of education, I suppose, in your return back into the lighted source. And those voluntary acts or commitments were made on a much, much higher plane than this, and much, much longer ago than you can imagine. There is nothing that you can relate to in anything on this earth place that would allow you to realize how far back you made that commitment against this day. And everything in all of your experiences has led up to this. And in many cases, you dropped off only to pick it up again. Other ones had your role, dropped completely away, and you filled in. This is the way of growth. Will you drop away again? Some of you will. Some of you will get mad at God because you don't understand what God is, who He is, or how it functions in this realm. And you are burdened with the same emotional structure of any other human in this experience. And you might get right outside this experience, like death of the body today, and tomorrow you're going to wish you'd done things differently. But you won't know that you blew it until tomorrow. This is the testing. Because you cannot look at your journey as sitting in this room and learning these lessons Maybe that's all you have to give, share, or receive. That's between you and God. It's not my business. But most of you in this room have got to grow beyond the acceptance of that experience as all there is. Because if we cannot bring you out of this density and inability to understand the massiveness and the oneness, the singleness of this experience, how will we reach all those masses in your manifested experience, your illusion? They're there. Doesn't matter who manufactured them, they're there. And because you are experiencing in this manifestation, it doesn't pay, it doesn't do you any good to say, well, I'm going to send into this other dimension then because I don't like this anymore. That's what you mean by volunteering. You volunteered to be here to do this. And you can stop doing it. But you will have broken your commitment. And that's something you will confront when you confront the rest of your actions. Now, as to the portals of light and the conclaves, I don't know how to tell you ones. Tawita was my student. I began to train her. It was through her that I made introduction to Dharma. And it would be much like if I was no longer getting from Dharma what I must have for your growth, I would have to go elsewhere. And if it was not appropriate, if my location in this particular instance, my speaker was in Indiana, I needed to be in Tehachapi, California. This is where it's at. Does that mean that the truth coming through Indiana was less valid? No. My function had to be here. There is no difference in this one speaking to you in this room and the one that goes to their conclave meeting. I'm called and I respond. I'm afraid I don't say very much. And I want you to use some perception here. You have a situation whereby annually there is an update written as the meeting or the conclave, like of 1991 and 92 and 93. These are meetings, I suppose, that have some validity. Unfortunately, they are mostly staged simply to write a journal about. And it gives an opportunity to meet with some of the higher teachers in descriptive form, if nothing else. Corton will attend, Soltec, Manka. It's sort of a gathering and a gentle, let's see what's going on and where we are. As much as anything, so Tawita can write her book. Because we honor her. But she became surrounded by ones who felt through their own generosity of knowledge, intelligence, and superior favoritism. Much got altered in perception.
and ones of those channeling communities who entertain you, and if you pay them, they'll give you a little private reading on the side. Little fortune telling. Don't ever pay Dorma to give you your fortune. She'll lie to you. She doesn't know what your fortune is. And I am not in the fortune telling business. Is this through intent? No, it is through all the impact of earth pressures and dominant personalities thrusting against, in this instance, a little one who came to this place for one cycle. She is not from your galaxy. She is from the third galaxy, which is one of the angelic realms. And she came to this place to serve. And it's too confused for me to even speak farther about it. The energy form is the same as mine, speaking right now. And I honor her. And if you find value in these books, take it. And if you wish to subscribe to those portals of light, take them. Take the value and the truth from them. And allow the gentleness and that which is fantasy to be set aside. You can learn from all things. And certainly the intent of this being is wondrous. Man becomes misguided. You want it to be as you perceive it will be, and it's not. It just is not. And when you grow into respect of another human being who also feels blessed, you have to look at all facts regarding these ones. What do they say? That I am a special chosen one. I have been allowed to go to the secret mystery schools. Where? What schools? Lake Titicaca, Peru? This is a mystical school. It doesn't exist. It comes forth in the telling as if it is a physical place where you go and you are instructed by the master teachers. That is not what it is. It is a mystery place where you get crowned and royal treatment and become an order and initiated. That's one of their favorite words, initiation. I went through the initiation and I became one of the priestesses of the royal high order of the Emerald Cross of Melchizedek. That is BS. Let me tell you why. You are not functioning behind the veil of light and protection if you say that. There is no royal hierarchy in heaven. God is as low as you. If you choose to get on your knees to Hatton, I've got to work from my knees. And that is a pitiful excuse for royalty. Does this mean that these are evil people? No. It means that they are misled by many, many higher teachers from somewhere out there, basing what they are teaching on Freemasonry and the secret code. and God is open, and there is no royalty. Now you will hear the term Lord Ashtar. That only means higher teacher. I would take a little bit of exception to Ashtar's position as accepted in the conclave. He simply is a master of ceremonies at this particular time. And it is not Ashtar as you think of as the Ashtar command. This is the entity that would serve the purpose as commander of that command. Because the Ashtar command is the one that houses and takes all the data. And that would be for all places in this part of your universe. And you cannot equate that to a one being. And that command is the one, not the Akashic Records. Don't misunderstand the Akashic Records and what Ashtar does. But in the time, if evacuation of this planet is needed because it's going to pulverize itself at your hands, at evacuation, everything shuts down and Ashtar command takes over, and all of us will respond to whatever orders we are given. They are practiced. I hate to tell you this, it is so disappointing. This human species does this over and over and over, to the point that the Ashtar command is so practiced at evacuating planets that he can literally do it in 15 minutes. So feel good about it. That's the good news. The bad news is you're going to have to start making up your mind which way you're going to go. I trust you'll understand that I don't make comments about other speakers, other energies. I would suggest, if you have opportunity, listen to them all. You discern according to the guidelines given you in the commandments and see what they say. If they break one rule in their instructions, if they say, hey, it's really okay, go screw around with your neighbor just a little bit and get it out of your system, that we understand is just a little love that you're sharing, then you better run as fast as your little legs will paddle you, because they are breaking the laws of God and they are not your teachers. They are here to do you in. Does that mean that everything they say will be unworthy? No. Most of what they say will be perfect. You get informed. Don't dump your responsibility onto the shoulders of anybody, and don't give away your power to any speaker, not even Hatton. Go find out. Measure my truth. It's out there. It's out there on your place. You measure it. And you measure what I tell you according to those laws handed down that are unbendable. Both the ones of God for this planet, for you as human species on this planet, and of the balanced natural laws of creation. If you're breaking them, I suggest you look at why and how you are breaking them. You're not going to be perfect. You're human. But if you deliberately make up your own set of laws to suit your lust and greed, you're making some pretty big errors in judgment. Meant, because it'll come right back to judge you.
Let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
Off the pulpit and into the pit.
Since JFK was trying to turn things around, and he had so many of the people of the world who were for him, why didn't God send you people here at that time when there was such a good chance of changing things? Why wait until we're down the toilet, as it were, and then send you?
Because you're going to go all the way down the toilet. That's the way it always works. It wasn't to be that you would turn it around. You see what they were doing. It wasn't going to be turned around. You haven't nearly played out the rest of this scenario. You're only a little piece of it. I'm sorry that there isn't any more to answer to that.
Number six.
By the way, there is. You can measure my lies too. What makes you think that some of us were not? Now let us go on.
How come in all these years I've not heard much of what you're saying from any of the mystics or enlightened ones? How come they didn't pick up on many of these things? I'm referring to the truth about Isu and the disciples, apostles, Mary Magdalene, their travels, and even events predating them.
Very simple. They're neither enlightened nor do they want you to know the truth. It's not easy to bring you this truth after all of those enlightened teachings. In fact, it is just about the hardest thing that I've ever experienced in all of my experiences. But I win.
Different set of questions. As a matter of fact, it's kind of a story.
We'll just read it and we'll hop in.
Places, events which I have been shown, information which I have received, not channeled, were my interpretations clouded by what I had learned or been taught as fact? For instance, there are a few things I recall from Isu's time. One is an incident between him and my daughter and me in the garden after his resurrection. Another is a time when we passed in the marketplace when I was with my handmaiden. My husband worked for Pontius as an administrator. We were Hebrews. And Isu, the name Jesus never did sit right with me. Now I know why. As he passed me, looked into my eyes and said, "Come follow me." I can still see his eyes and still feel a terrible cold fear that swept over me. It's an unforgettable thing. Did I follow him? Secretly only. I was terrified to follow him openly. As I recall, the Romans were pussycats compared to Herod and his troops. Also, I was in an area that was underground and I saw saucers, the launch pads, and how they're raised and launched. There's more to it than I'm saying, of course, but I thought it was in the Arctic region and was not of our civilization.
No, it was in the Antarctic region and wasn't of your civilization.
Are there dwellers within our earth? Because that's who I thought they were. I never saw any of them distinctly, only figures against in front of objects to give me an idea of the size of what I was seeing. Also, are you familiar with Flower Newhouse, who has the Guest Haven Center, Quest Haven, I think, Quest Haven Center, near Vista, California, and who was Isu's sister? I'm not sure she's still on this side. I haven't heard of her in several years. Much beautiful work has come from her and her center. Many have been given good training in spiritual value. She has given much information on angels and their functions, guided artistic renderings, etc. I just thought a number of years ago I wrote a story about the incidents that took place aboard one of our spacecraft in which some of the things I've seen were included. I had a friend of mine illustrate the story and submitted it to Omni Magazine. I have the return receipt, but no one ever has heard of it, seen it, and can't recognize the initials of the individual who signed for it. Nor have I ever heard of its being published. Interesting, isn't it? Maybe I was being protected. I know I've skipped around in this paragraph. Forgive me. My thoughts weren't organized. Everything reminds me of something else, and it's just spilling out. Thank you for bearing with me.
I'm not going to discuss this. This is very personal. I would just suggest that all of you who get these urgings to really look at what keeps flickering through your consciousness, stop and pay attention. Get a pen or get a little recorder and speak. You're going to be amazed at how right on you end up being in the protection of privacy. We had one who couldn't tell you every inch of the ground 6 miles deep in this Tehachapi area as far as what is put here, most especially the location, etc., of the crystal. Just don't live in those times you are now. There is no such thing as time or space. And when you start trying to separate it out, you're going to find it only totally confusing because of the fact that this is a projection of thought in manifested form. And you are creating it. And you are creating the visualization of those experiences that maybe came before. And the clues and the guidelines are there. And it's as I've talked about channels and communication. This is why we do not refer to Dharma as a channel. I speak, she translates. You can hear the pulse beat at that frequency. You can pick it up on a more sophisticated shortwave set. I don't think the ones that you would ordinarily have in your home go that high in frequency. And all you're going to get is an electronic whine. But that's what she volunteered to do. Other masters use different frequencies for different ones who are receiving. And if you don't speak a language, you have to have a translator. And in your daily life, you're not going to even understand why you can translate. And I'm not going to explain it and lead the enemy over here to bop you on the head. And I'm incensed from time to time at the mystical nonsense that comes back to me. Well, why don't you just talk to me? Well, that's the first reason. Talk to me and I'll believe you. What do you do when you pick up the telephone and someone speaks to you? Let us say you're in Montana and you call somebody in California. Don't you assume that voice is hooked to something? You have a radio, you turn on the button and you run it up and down the dial. And you tune in a channel or a station, depending on whether it's television or radio. It never occurs to you to doubt that someone is speaking into a microphone.
And if you have a two-way radio, you can respond. There's nothing mystical about it. And besides that, I'm not all that far anymore. I'll probably yell at you. I'm practicing. Let's have another question.
All right, maybe we should turn the tape so that I won't be interrupted.
Very good, Oberlin.